Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. Well, today is my quarterly chairman's address. It is also Mission Sunday, and Reverend Alexa has asked me to give an update on Wawasan Penabur, which is a ministry to the Bahasa Church, and which this church and you, many of you, actively support since its formation 15 years ago. I am chairman of Wawasan Penabur, also of this church. Well, let me quickly just mention two things up front. After the service, please visit the booth outside, which is manned by our brother Edwin. And if you give us your email address, we'll be happy to send you our e-newsletter. This book is worth reading, just recently published, Revival in Bakalalan, Discerning God's Purposes for this nation today. Those familiar with East Malaysia, Bakalalan is a village right in the interior of Sarawak, next to the border with Kalimantan, and it experienced a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 70s and the 80s. And our very gifted member, Joat Heng, Sister Joat Heng, helped to edit the English version. The Bahasa version is by Wawasan Penabur. Well, I have two objectives today. The first, of course, is to just share generally about the Bahasa Church, then give you an update on Wawasan Penabur for your prayers, as well as an accountability report to many of you who have supported this ministry. Secondly, to encourage you from the Word of God, as I discern for this church at this time. And my title is, You Reap What You Sow. You can see it as a little bit of wrapping up DMM. That's a lot to cover. So I ask for grace for a little bit more time. Well, let us pray together this prayer in Bahasa, can we? Can we pray together in Bahasa? Allah yang Maha Kuasa, semoga firman-Mu menjadi semangat kami. Yesus Kristus menjadi Tuhan kami yang tidak berbela bahagi. Roh Kudus-Mu menjadi inspirasi dan guru kami, dan kemuliaan-Mu menjadi satu-satunya keinginan kami. Amin. Well, part one is on Bahasa Church, as well as an update on the ministry of Wawasan Penabur. And I'd like to thank you for your support. We'll look at some statistics and challenges, and you will see a video, a short video, and then I will conclude for part one, yeah? So I want to thank you, faithful partners in the ministry of Wawasan Penabur, right from the beginning. So you are our founding partner, investor, either directly or through the church. And year after year, your prayers and your financial contribution have enabled us to provide affordable discipleship resources to empower the Bahasa Church. And we are reaping the fruit of what you have helped to sow. And your partnership means a lot to the staff at Wawasan Penabur. It strengthens us to soldier on in this very difficult ministry. And it moves us forward to take on new and bold initiatives for our Lord. So we always give thanks for you and for PJEFC. Well, you know, the Bahasa Church is strategically important, yeah? It is important for nation building. And every day, Throughout the country, the churches are praying for the welfare of our country, just as Pastor Yu Yong did just now. And we pray for a strong church to rise up, to be a prime mover in nation building. And that means a strong Bahasa church. Why? Because the Bahasa church is Malaysia's biggest and dominant church, as well as having the status and rights of Bumiputra. The latest census, 2020, shows that the number of Christians, both Protestant and Catholics, yeah, in Malaysia to be 9.1%, which is a rather small percentage. But the vast majority, 71% of them, they reside in East Malaysia. And the majority of these people in East Malaysia, they are Bahasa speaking. They are Bahasa speaking. And in the last 10 years, the percentage that reside in East Malaysia, they have risen from 67% to 71%. And the numbers are growing in East Malaysia faster than in the West. You may be interested to know that following the revivals in the 70s and the 80s, in the state of Sarawak, it grew from 19.3% in 1970 to 50.1% in 2020. Sabah is 24.7%, but we all know that the numbers are very difficult to interpret because there was substantial immigration coming from the outside. But someone calculated if Sabah population grew at the same rate as Sarawak, the percentage of Christian would be the same as Sarawak. So we give thanks to God for His working in the Bahasa Church. But the Bahasa Church faces many, many challenges. Challenges that are unique and quite different from the English and the Chinese churches here in Malaysia. Challenges that you and I would consider quite basic. The lack of Alkitab, Bibles. The lack of Sunday school materials. The lack of children Bible. Resources on basic doctrines and apologetic materials and other discipleship resources. And we all know that these challenges, they are further compounded by two very harsh realities. One, economic impoverishment. Sabah is the poorest state in this country. And we all know that there is aggressive promotion of another faith, targeting the young. And our number one challenge is nominalism. Because many of the young are third or fourth generation Christians. We call them cultural Christians, like many places in Europe. Their understanding of the faith is shallow. And they are vulnerable at boarding schools and at colleges, staying far away from their parents, and where the majority are from a different faith. So our young Bahasa believers need help urgently, because night is coming where no one can work. But we thank God, many English and Chinese churches are rising up to help in economic empowerment in financial contribution. And over the last 15 years, we see tangible progress, but the key challenges remains. Well, this four-minute video, you will remind us of the importance of sowing into the lives of our young Bahasa believers, and it will also communicate some of the key initiatives of Wawasan Penabur for 2024. Can we see the video? You know, there are spiritual battles going on at many fronts, and our adversary, the devil, he will not rest, and he will use all his devious schemes and tricks to prevent us from sowing into and building up the Bahasa Church. And we at the Wawasan Penabur focuses on providing quality and affordable discipleship materials, both digital and print, for the young. And we distribute them widely, right into the interior. So, for example, in our One Child, One Bible Project, we have distributed over 500,000 copies. We have empowered youth workers and Bible school students through our Sikkim initiative. And now every Sunday school teacher can own his or her own copy of Sunday school teaching material. Previously, it was very expensive having to be imported from Indonesia, and you only a church only have one or two copies and they are lying in the library. And your financial sponsorship and you know, have enabled to better equip a lot of Bible school students and pastors to disciple the young. And this year we took the very bold step to launch a Sekolah Kepimpinan Issachar, which is patterned after the residential Bible school, an intensive 5 weeks residential discipleship and leadership school for selected SPM and STPM leavers, and fully sponsored through donations from people such as yourselves. And this will be an annual event. And next year, as the Lord enables us, we will plan a similar school for university students. Discipleship is an answer to the normalism of the young. We sow into their lives so that we may reap a new generation of biblically grounded Bahasa leaders, strong in faith, strong in nation building. And you are our partners through your prayers and contributions, so we thank God for you. Continue to pray steadfastly and watchfully for the Bahasa Church, and pray that God will raise up this new generation of leaders. Well, let me come to part two, which is to encourage you from the Word. Just a quick outline. I will give you a short introduction of you reap what you sow, four principles from the Bible. It is a principle of the natural world, spiritual world. We reap proportionally to what we sow, and we reap more than what we sow, and we reap what others have sown. And then we'll look at some application, and I will end with a challenge. Yeah? You reap what you sow. It's an idiom, isn't it? Possibly having its roots in the Bible. It's a principle of cause and effect. It's a metaphor for one's actions and reaping for the results of those actions. It is used widely, often as a general wisdom. We see that in business, in politics, in pop culture, in everyday speech. And we accept this principle and we seldom question it. Hard work and smart work means success. Yeah, Chinese people know that. I reap what I sow. And I learned this principle early in my primary school life. You know, my father enrolled me in this missionary school in Ipoh, where there's a lot of smart people there. But I was not a smart student. And I like to play, much to the dismay of my parents. And in primary school, I was in class C, you know, class C, yeah? And usually plays quite near the bottom. And growing up as a boy, I was often belittled and branded Chun Jai, stupid boy in Cantonese. And then my Hokkien mother would say, "Ah, si liao." dead already. No hope. Habis. Well, others were a little bit cruel and they taunted me in Class C. You know, in Cantonese, in Ipoh, Cantonese means shit. And I really dread going to 6C because they would call me Chun Chai 6C. And my ambition was either becoming a clerk or at best a policeman. But you know, something happened. Something happened. And on one exam, I studied 1 week earlier. 1 week earlier. Normally, it's just one day. Yeah? And to my surprise, my marks went up. Red became blue. And I climbed up to be number 10 in 6C. And I could not believe it. Wow, so easy, I said. So I became motivated, and I studied harder and harder, and my marks keep going up, and then I was no longer in C, and it was A, B, and A, right? And by the time I was in Form 6, I was second best overall student. You know, I have found that good marks came from studying hard and studying smart. Eh? Young people there, eh? Take note. And I put in the extra hours into my weaker subjects. I have found the principle of I reap what I sow. A principle of the natural world. And this has been my guiding principle growing up. Sowing and reaping is mentioned throughout the Bible from Genesis right up to Revelation. And we learn multiple principles from them, but this morning I will mention four. Yeah? Four. In Genesis, God gave plants and fruits with seeds. He gave it to humanity for food. And right from the beginning, man has and woman has understood the process of sowing and reaping, and he has applied it to his benefit. Study hard, study smart, and you will get good marks. It is something that humanity can relate to. So sowing and reaping is a principle of the natural world. It is also a principle of the spiritual world. As we go from Old Testament to the New Testament, we see that very clearly. And in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 8, it says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." And there are spiritual consequences to our actions. And these principles hold true both positively and negatively. We reap in kind to what we sow. I plant a rambutan seed and I expect rambutans and not durians. And when we are selfish, proud, unjust, sinful, trusting in our own ability or worth to save us, we are sowing to the flesh. And the Bible tells us, destruction awaits. I have seen people who have made a shipwreck of their lives. Broken marriages because of affairs. Careers destroyed while they were still young because of gambling. A friend's son has to hide from Ah Long for many years. We reap corruption if we sow to the flesh. And do not be deceived. God sees everything. He sees everything. The fiddling of expenses, the evasion of income tax, your secret immoral affair, exposing ourselves to unhealthy influences, pornography, too much exposure to certain internet sites, indulging in unhelpful books, television program, whatever it is. And don't ever fall to the little lie that we keep telling ourselves, saying, I'm not perfect, I am messing up only in this one area, but the rest of my life looks pretty good. Don't ever fall for the little lie. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. This principle will apply, and we will reap corruption from sowing to the flesh. However, when we are selfless, generous, kind, depending on God's provision and salvation, we are sowing to the Spirit, and we will reap eternal life, not only in heaven, but here, the presence of God in our everyday living. Remember these wise words in Proverbs. The one who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward, and whoever sows injustice reaps calamity. There is simply no way around it. Every time I choose an action, I also choose the consequences of that action. So let us not be deceived, because God is not mocked. Well, the third principle is we reap proportionally to what we sow. And the principle is, well, the more seeds you plant, the more fruit you will harvest. And the Bible applies this principle to our giving. To our giving. So in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, Paul writes, The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And each one, you and me, we must give as he has decided in his heart, in my heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And it's quite clear from the word that those who sow generously will reap blessings more than those who don't. And this principle is not about the amount of give. It's about the spirit in which it is given. Because God loves a cheerful giver. And even the widow's mites are noticed by the Lord. You know, I'm retired now. I don't have employment income. The amount I give is less than before. But as a proportion of my retired income, it is more. And I'm blessed with the presence of God. The blessings from more giving is not more wealth, although it could be. It is spiritual blessing. And the more I give to God, the more joy and peace I experience. But this, the world cannot understand, yeah? The world cannot understand this principle. And many of you in this church have proportionally given much, I believe. and are blessed. You know, the church has a budget every year, and every year we budget for growth. Who wants to work in a company that stays the same from year to year, right? Nobody wants that, right? You want to work in a company that is growing all the time. Likewise, the church budget for growth. We want to do more welfare work. We want to do more community work, more outreach, more mission work. The increased income has enabled us to plant a church in Nepal. He has funded our Bahasa church, our migrant and refugee churches. And reap what you sow evokes a financial response. Kingdom people are generous people. Kingdom people come, take, share, and go, people. We don't come, take, and go, and not share. When we give, we sow, we invest. Fuwe gave me this charge, our treasurer. It shows our church income by month versus budget for the first 6 months of this year. We budget 300,000 per month, and for the first 6 months of this year, we are 340,000 ringgit short. What does that mean? It means, of course, we can meet the existing salary costs of our pastors and staff, so don't worry, Alexa. We can meet our ministry and office expenses. But other growth areas will be delayed. Other growth areas will be delayed. Recently, the Diaconate asked for input on the reimagining PJ EFC project. It is a project to imagine our church in 15 to 20 years' time and what we must do today and in the next few years to prepare ourselves for what is to come. And I'm encouraged that so many of you turn up, young and old, to give your input. And this will all be discussed in greater detail at our coming leaders' retreat. The reimagining project will obviously require heavy financial investments. I was told that this is a warehouse, and the sewage system down there is not big enough to have a lot of people in our premises. So, no toilet facilities if we have more than 1,000 people here. You know, I believe God is raising up a new generation of generous donors who will be around in the next 15 to 20 years' time. Many of us seniors, we have contributed to the purchase of this property, and we are blessed, for God loves a cheerful giver. And the next generation will be given this opportunity to experience God's blessing in the investment in this project. A little note to the seniors here, including myself. Is God included in your will, in your distribution of your assets? But why wait? Give that portion while you can. Invest in sowing, or invest in the workers in the harvest field. Because Jesus is right. The harvest is plentiful. Workers are few. So you sow, and another may harvest, but both rejoices. Well, when it comes to wealth, this is my favorite verse in Deuteronomy 8, 17 and 18. Sometimes I wonder whether God is Cantonese, because Deuteronomy 8, 18 is Fat Yat Fat Lea. Well, what does it say? Beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. You know, it is easier to give proportionately when our income is small. But when income grows, now that's the challenge, right? Yeah, as Brother Chi Wai reminded us, do we give proportionally? I just want to say a few words to some of you here. If God has blessed you as successful business owners, or blessed you with high-paying jobs, rewarded you with hefty bonuses, remember that it is God who gives you this power to get wealth. And stay humble. Stay humble. Well, fourthly, the fourth principle is we reap more than what we sow. And one sow, another reap. And it is a principle that applies to gospel work. It is the principle of multiplication and of teamwork. And if we want to grow this church, we have to pay particular attention to this principle. In Matthew 13, verse 8, Jesus spoke of the seed that brings forth 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. One grain of wheat produces a whole head of grain. One durian seed produces a tree which will bear hundreds and thousands of fruits in its lifetime. And what is this seed that Jesus refers to? Well, it is the Word. It is the Word. So turn with me to Mark chapter 4. This is a whole chapter where there's a lot of stories from Jesus. Yeah? Mark chapter 4 and verse 14. The sower sows the word. The seed is the word. Continuing in verse 26. And Jesus said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He doesn't know how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. And when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Then he continues with another story. With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown in the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet, when it is grown, is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants, and it puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And Jesus in John 4 says, for here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. Jesus sent you to reap for which you do not labor. And Jesus is a good story, isn't he? And in his parable of the sower scattered seeds, they fall on many different soils. And some landed on good soil, and it reaped a great harvest. And Jesus continues as we read in verse 26, with another story. What is the kingdom of God like? What is the kingdom of God like? Well, it is like this. A man scatters seed on the ground. Let's imagine the man is you, and you are sowing the word. You are sowing it to unbelievers. And then as you continue reading the story, Jesus' story, you discover that without you doing anything, without you actually having the foggiest clue of how it happens, it produces a harvest. And you sow and you reap more than you sow, many times more. And sowing and reaping implies a wait, right? Because nothing good comes overnight. And the farmer must be patient in order to see the fruit of his labors, planting, watering, and reaping. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, suggests a length of time, and God will bring forth fruit to His glory in His time. So until then, we faithfully labor in the field, knowing that at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up, if we do not give up, Galatians 6. And in verse 30, we read, again Jesus said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like? Well, it is like a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed you plant in the ground. You know, this is a great story, you know, because sometimes we feel like sowing the word, it's so difficult. It is so demanding. Of course, it is demanding if we are organizing a huge church-wide program, a huge evangelistic program meeting. Of course, it is demanding. But sowing the gospel can also be like sowing a mustard seed. It can be very simple. Very undemanding. So everyone can do it. A word about Jesus here and there, a gospel tract to a friend or stranger, a Christian book to a friend on parenting, perhaps, on mental health, coming alongside someone who is sick, praying for them, for a friend and even a stranger. Picking up a friend to go to a church meeting or to a church-organized sit-down exercise and so on and so on and so on and so on. Mustard seed, effort. Everyone can do it. And this is what God expects of us, yeah. You know, I'm really encouraged to see more and more members coming up, taking initiative, initiating activities which are outward-looking and welcoming new friends. Sit-down exercise, a basketball for kids, ping-pong competition, Super Sundays in our Sunday school, community talks, food banks, our Pastor James, very involved. CG, having Christmas gathering for your friends and your neighbors, and so on. I'm encouraged. And in our sit-down exercise, we know that there are many unbelieving seniors, they join in. Why? Because it's good health, right? I also want to exercise. But over time, our senior members got to know them, right? And then they say, okay, you know, can I have one-to-one Bible reading with you? What's so difficult about having one-to-one Bible reading, yeah? sitting down over coffee, which you have every morning anyway, reading the Bible verse by verse, it's written for you anyway, chapter by chapter. Little preparation needed. The only demand is time and prayers. Very, very achievable. Very, very practical. Sowing a mustard seed. And then you leave the rest to Jesus. You leave the rest to Jesus. And then one by one, they will begin to show some interest in Jesus' offer of salvation. And some will be open to attend Alpha. You sow and you reap. And to grow this church, we need both, of course, prayers for unbelievers and sowing to unbelievers. We need to reflect on the content of our prayers here. Praying for unbelievers, praying to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into the field. Both are required. Prayer alone will not do. Sowing alone will fail. So let us not be deceived. God is not mocked. Well, the harvest is plentiful. Laborers are few. It's a fact, yeah. Jesus is saying there's a lot of people in the field and they are ready for harvest. But so few workers, isn't it? So few workers. So pray. Don't just pray, but pray earnestly so that God may send out laborers into the harvest. Both are needed. And once we grasp this principle, our churches will grow. We reap what we sow. So let us not be deceived. And we know the great deceiver is the devil. You know, John Stott once wrote this. He said, you know, the church is a gathered church. Yeah, every Sunday we come. We gathered for fellowship. We gathered to be nourished in the Word, to edify one another, to be equipped, to be encouraged. But the church is also a scattered church. And after gathering and filled with nourishment, we scatter. We scatter to sow mustard seeds. We scatter to bring in people into the gathered church. We gather to scatter. I think the question is to ask is that, do we have personal activities that involve unbelievers? Do your CG or ministry have activities that invite unbelievers? Because let us not be deceived. Without these activities, the church will not grow. So it would be good if we can do a review of our personal and ministry activities. Do they include prayers for unbelievers, sending out laborers? This is a sober thought. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. We reap what we sow. And it's our church. It's our homes open. Are they a safe space to welcome people? I read this story in John Stott's book. Yeah, he was in a city square in Sao Paulo, which is in Brazil. He was walking around. And then in the square, he saw beggars and he saw prostitutes marketing their trade. And in the middle of that square stood a huge church, a huge building. But its large doors were bolted and shut. How sad. How sad he says, did not Jesus welcome the destitute, the beggars, and the prostitutes? You know, I was speaking in a very small English church recently, and some of the members was telling me, oh, no, the leaders can't allow the, you know, the some of these people to come and dirty the church. When we first have our Urdu ministry, they wet our toilets, right? Some members complain, yeah. But of course, they're not used to using paper. So with a little bit of education and encouragement, we sort that out. Is our church a safe space for the needy? Is your home safe space for your neighbors and friends? You know, some homes, they're not even go to because I can't even sit down because everything is so nicely. Might break an expensive glass here and there. Jesus came to welcome the destitute, the beggars, and the prostitutes. Well, let's quickly recap some application, but I want to have a challenge to us, yeah, a challenge to us. Let's just look at what I've shared. The Bahasa Church, please support and continue to pray for her, and all can be involved, like sowing a mustard seed. You can sponsor a children's Bible, a study Bible to a pastor, or help with the salary of a youth worker. Take seriously the principles, the Bible principles, the kingdom principles of you reap what you sow. It's a principle of the natural world. So are you diligent in your studies, young people, students? Do you work hard at work? Do you work hard at your marriage? As parents? At your health? It is a principle of the spiritual world. Are you sowing to the spirit or to the flesh? God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. To the flesh, you will reap corruption, the Bible warns. And to the spirit, eternal life, the presence of God. In our finance, do you give cheerfully and proportionally to God's kingdom? Because kingdom people, they come, they get, they share, and they go, people. And giving is sowing, it is investing. And to those blessed with health, wealth, remember it is God who gives you the ability to gather wealth. It is not through your own strength. So let us be humble. Are you sowing the seed of the gospel in the lives of people? Everyone can do our part, like sowing a mustard seed. And we must do our part. Well, let me just conclude very quickly. Yeah, this is a nice slide. I just want to repeat the challenge of Reverend Alexa in last Sunday's sermon. The five fingers in your hand, in your one hand, not both hands, one hand. Do you remember her challenge? Well, each finger represents a face of someone you know. Faces and names of unchurched friends where you can sow mustard seeds into their lives. You know, I have my five faces before me all the time. My retired elder brother, my doctor nephew, two business owners whom I meet every month, and my senior neighbor, two doors away. And God has blessed me with these relationships. And they are for a reason. And that reason is that we can sow seeds into their lives. Mustard seeds. Not difficult, huh? Mustard seeds. And I see this as a great privilege. And it is also a great responsibility. And I trust you have five faces in your one hand. And it is good that you discuss them at your CG, your 3-2-1, your ministry meetings, your spouses. Well, amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, may your word be our passion. The Lord Jesus, our undivided master. Your Holy Spirit, our inspiration and teacher. And your glory, our only desire. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.